What do you think? You think the Lord could save President Obama? Let's talk about it a little bit. I've been awakened several times at 3:33 and in the recent couple of weeks. So I've been asking the Lord for Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. And I've had some good talks with the Lord in the middle of the night. And one of the things that he has shown me over the years is what I said in the last broadcast. And he told me that some prophetic revelations will not come to pass in some ways because his people have prayed. It's not that they weren't true revelations, but God has answered their repentance and prayer. You wonder sometimes how the Lord could answer the prayers because you've been told so much was going to happen this way or that way. Well, God never runs out of ways to answer prayer. It's not always in the way we see, but he will bring it to pass. There are many ways God can manifest any given prophetic revelation. We've spoken about two different manifestations of Pharaoh and his army drowning at the Red Sea. Some of you probably know about the article with the voting map on the front of our site. There's a map of the United States there, almost totally covered in red, because that's really what happened. And even as cheating went on, it wasn't enough to overcome the overwhelming flood of people that wanted a change. So that thing shows red voters, and it swallowed up the blue, which I applied to Pharaoh going down at the Red Sea in that article on the front of the site. Is definitely one of the manifestations of that revelation that I've seen. And I do believe that that's the least God's going to do right there. That's happening. It's still happening, and it's going to happen until Trump is inaugurated. Okay, that's my belief. We also have spoken of revelations of a more physical manifestation of this. A tsunami hitting the East Coast and going up the Potomac, taking down D.C. Clearly, God could fulfill the prophetic revelations in at least two ways here, maybe more, that he hasn't shown us, right? So, the people of God who live on, or maybe have family on, the East Coast, are, of course, praying against a tsunami there. So God could use the other manifestation, right? He'd still be right. He'd still be honoring what he said. It's just manifested in a different way, right? Clearly, a Trump inauguration would be a red right wing drowning of all that the blue left wing has done and so on. And of course, this has kept God's people and the country in bondage to what we know now is Satanism. And we can see it in the people that are affected by this. They're totally factious, full of witchcraft. And, of course, that's what's been worked on them, even sacrificing babies and things like that. I believe will at least come to pass to fulfill the prophetic revelations. But the physical revelation as regards to D.C. may not, because God doesn't have to do anything but bring it to pass the way he wants to bring it to pass. And when we pray, he tells us he's going to answer. So how do you fit all that together? Well, that's what I'm trying to do right now. Coming of Trump and the man-child ministry historically has been a time of undeserved grace and mercy from God. When Jesus came, there was a totally rebellious bunch of people there, deserved nothing but judgment, judgment that had been pronounced. And, of course, Jesus came along and offered grace and mercy. And how glad we are. And I've told you that a time like that was coming to us because we run in parallel to what happened in the Gospels and then in the book of Acts. So, anyway, let me share something with you that I was talking about just a few minutes ago about can God save somebody like Obama? Well, Missy wrote to me. She said, I asked the Lord for a word this morning. I pasted this word into our morning verses. I did. I pasted this word that she sent into our morning verses on the 15th. And I read it that day. Actually, I didn't read the text because she just had the addresses there. I didn't read the text that day, but just got the main crux of what she was saying. And it, because I did that, I didn't really have an understanding of what was being said. I'd planned to come back and read it later, which I did. And I later pasted it the next day into our morning verses and shared it. And at that time, when I read the verses, I saw what was hidden. Here's one right here, 1 Samuel 13 and 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Well, that was, of course, Saul's kingdom would not continue, or Obama's kingdom shall not continue, since that's what we were thinking about and talking about. He went on to say, for the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Now, I would say that's, you know, run this parallel we've been speaking about, that's David Trump parallel. The first parallel was Saul Obama. Okay. He sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath appointed him to be prince over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Okay, so I believe the Lord has appointed a David man-child and a Trump to work together to bring about this revival and so on and so forth. And I believe that he has also ordained to bring down Saul and Obama. Okay? She said, I also asked for a word for more specifics as to what the Lord is wanting to communicate. And she got Jonah 3:3-4. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, as we know, Nineveh escaped destruction by God because they fasted and prayed and turned from evil. And as you also know, I saw the United States in a vision in 1998 as Nineveh. And it was spared from a catastrophic judgment in that vision. So my question is, will the U.S. escape destruction like Nineveh and their king? And who is Nineveh's king? Well, it's Obama. Their king repented and actually led the way to repentance and revival. Because you can look at the very next verses. You know, when God gives you a verse, you wonder how far down to read and how far applies and so on and so forth. Well, when I see them sometimes, I see that they didn't go quite far enough because there's a story there. So, Jonah 3:5-10. I'm going to read that, the next verses. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. And the tidings reached the king of Nineveh. Let's just say it's Obama for now. And he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him in with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let them be covered with sackcloth, both man and beast, and let them cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in him. Who knoweth whether God will not turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Well, you know, if we're running parallel to the man-child Jesus, when he came, he didn't come with destruction, you know. He came with grace and peace. And this time he said he was going to bring judgment, according to Isaiah 61, right? But I'm not talking about judgment against the people of God. The same grace is being given to the people of God. But there was a judgment, for instance, when Moses judged Egypt. And it was not for the purpose of destroying his people who were about to go into the wilderness or tribulation. It was for the purpose of setting them free. So, there was a judgment. Moses came with judgment. And the man-child this time is going to come with judgment, with the purpose of setting God's people free. Okay, so you still follow me. I'm not saying you agree with everything I say. Just follow me and we'll keep on going down this road and see where it leads. Now God is not expecting the invaders to repent. They can't do it without him. They're the ones who will destroy America if God's people do not repent. Will you fast and pray and repent of anything you need to? Will you pray for Obama, as commanded in the scripture? I'm preaching to Nineveh now, just as many others are. And we're going down this same road here, okay? Missy also said on the 22nd, is 40 days, January the 22nd of 2017 is 40 days. If you count today, that was the 14th. She said, "I asked the Lord if Obama is going to finish his term, and he gave me a yes and confirmed it with three heads." So she had three coins. He confirmed it with three heads. Okay. Well, I got the same answer when I asked. You know, Ken Dewey said he wouldn't finish his term, but this says that he will. And as I thought on this, there's only one way for both to be right. Obama has to be turned into another man. He has to be saved. You know what happens when you're saved? You die. That's a different kind of death than a drowning at the Red Sea. It's a baptism at the Red Sea where you die and are resurrected a new man. The old Obama is dead. He has to be turned into another man. In other words, he has to be saved. Paul called the Red Sea a baptism where the old man, the Egyptian, died and the new man was resurrected. Okay, so we know that the man-child and Trump, I'm just going to take this little side step here just for a moment. We know that the man-child and Trump run parallel. And obviously at the Red Sea, when Obama loses his position, especially if he gets saved, and Trump takes it, it's what happened at the Red Sea. There was a new administration took over at the Red Sea. Okay, and at the same time, Moses was baptized in the Red Sea too, and resurrected. The resurrection of the man-child, right? To bring the people into the wilderness, which was just beyond the Red Sea, right? Okay, so I hope you're still following me. So, Missy said, remember on November the 26th, I asked if Obama was going to finish his term, and he gave me Amos 5 and 9. Here it is in context. Amos 5, 4 through 9. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Well, that's a condition, right? There's a condition there. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Before I go on, let me just say, God has been showing us uncommon mercy and grace. Everything we've prayed for concerning bringing down this evil administration and raising up one that's more profitable for Christianity and for a coming revival, it's all been answered. One right after another. Now they think it's the Russians. But they don't know it's not the Russians. You know, it's God's people. And He's hearing their prayers, right? Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Once again, God pleads with us here, you know. Next verse. But seek not Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And it was, by the way, the house of God which was rejected by God. It was the house in Saul's time. It was his church. So, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught, which it did. And, of course, Jerusalem was the new place of the temple of God, the house of God, right? When David took over and he conquered Jerusalem. Verse 6, seek the Lord and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and it devour, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Well, you know, the man-child is going to judge the fallen house of God, isn't he? The one that he has rejected, he's going to judge it. Verse 7, you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that maketh the Pleiades and Orion, and turn the shadow of death into the morning. So, seek him to give you new light and new life, right? Turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Well, here's a baptism unto death and resurrection. Kind of a spiritual tsunami, right? And bringeth sudden destruction upon the strong, so that destruction cometh upon the fortress. Now, let me just share what I was thinking here. Obama spiritually dies, and the D.C. fortress is conquered by Cyrus, or Trump. In other words, if we repent and seek the Lord, the king of Babylon will spiritually die, and Cyrus Trump will take the throne. Or, if we don't seek him, maybe, he will keep Obama and Hillary in office and use them to destroy Christianity. Now, I don't believe that that's going to happen. I believe God's heard our prayers, and he's in the act of fulfilling them. and he's going to get him glory upon Pharaoh, if you know what I mean. He's hardened Pharaoh's heart time after time. Even when he thought he'd give up, he went right back to it, right? And he's doing it now, blaming the Russians. Going to strike out at the Russians. Well, okay, we prayed that down too, didn't we? Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that there's not going to be that world war right now. Thank you, Father. Oh, there's one coming, but it's not that one right now. So, repentance will bring his spiritual end and his fortress's end. What a great Saul to Paul conversion Obama would make. Think about it. Oh, he stands for the worst that we've ever had in the White House. He stands for that. And most Christians know that. And all those people that put their trust in him, you remember when when Saul was converted to Paul. And, he was killing Christians. He was standing against everything that Christian was. Very, very religiously self-righteous, destroying Christianity everywhere he could find it. Well, by the way, that's exactly what Obama's been doing too, here and overseas. So, from killing Christians to a great evangelist, because all those people out there who respect him are more willing to listen to somebody like that who has been where he has been and has had their respect and now has changed and now trying to give them a witness of who he is. Now, we know the Pharisees didn't like that and they wanted to kill him. They tried to kill Saul and they would try to kill Obama. In fact, we already got that on our site, you know, that there would be attempts to take his life. So, in this way, he can spiritually die at the Red Sea baptism. I would say pray for him, because we've already got revelations that he was going to be saved. And we've also got revelations that he was going to be assassinated. That doesn't have to come to pass. If he's saved and he is a good witness, I mean, obviously, Paul also. They tried several times to assassinate him, and they failed. So, remember our parallel there, right? So, Missy said again, she said, I asked, is Obama going to stop the inauguration on the 20th? And then you're going to judge him. That was her question. Is he going to stop the inauguration and then you're going to judge him? She said, he told me no and gave a confirmation of three tails. So in other words, Obama will not stop Trump from taking office. Trump and company will bring an end of Obama's works and the infiltration of communist, leftist, anarchist, radical Islam enemies within the leadership of the country. Because, you know, there's going to be a purge. One person saw Trump as a bulldozer plowing through D.C. So, very interesting. Missy said, I asked the Lord for a word to explain this. In other words, why Obama will not stop Trump. And he gave me Luke 5 and 13. And my finger landed on the word leprosy. Well, you know that leprosy is known to be a sign for the curse of sin. It just eats away at you, doesn't it? So, I mean, lots and lots of people believe that, and I do too. So let me read that in this context, Luke 5, 12, and 13. And it came to pass, so she's asking now about Obama, and wants an explanation of of how Obama will not stop Trump. Okay? So Luke 5:12, and it came to pass, while he was in one of the cities, behold, a man, and of course she's asked about Obama, so we'll put Obama in there, right? Behold, a man full of leprosy or sin, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In other words, you can deliver me from sin. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And straightway the leprosy departed from him. So, in other words, the Lord saves Obama from his sins. Okay. Now, I'm not letting this stand alone. None of these are going to stand alone. I'm going to just share a bunch of them with you, okay? So, let's say that he dies at the Red Sea baptism and receives resurrection life, which we call salvation. And I asked the Lord, are you going to save Obama? And I got yes, with a confirmation of three heads. And all I can say is, woohoo! Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't have nothing against Obama. I'm sure there's a lot of Christians out there that hate him and they don't forgive him. But look, we can't judge the lost. We just really can't. They are what they are because they don't have God. And if he gave them grace, they'd be where we are. And when he gives somebody grace like Obama, my goodness, they can be such a powerful Christian. As you know, Paul was. He worked harder than all the rest of the apostles. He just had a desire to make up for all that he had done, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, I've been asking you to send a Saul, and he would be the best. I can't imagine a better Saul than him. And as you know, they tried to kill Saul, or Paul, because he knew the enemy and their secrets and their assassinations, and he knew everything, just like Obama. And in a dream I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes, a SEAL team of hitmen were under his boat while he was reading about Sovereign God. And Bill said... Bill Steenland here, he said that he saw Obama in a dream a few months ago, and he said he was very humble. And I thought then, will he be saved? Well, we'd already had a revelation that he would. Been a while since we visited that, long time since we visited that, you know. So, Missy said, I asked the Lord for another word, and he gave me Job 36:7. And kings is where I landed. The context is 7 through 15. And I don't know what all this means, but I feel to send it to you. Okay, so when I read it, I saw these things. Job 36:7. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings upon the throne he setteth them forever, and they are exalted. Oh, resurrection, eternal life exalts Obama. And if they be found in fetters and be taken in the cords of afflictions, and I believe he is now in quite a lot of affliction. He has an ambition. He wants to be the one. Right? His dream is being destroyed, and the Illuminati is firing him, as we're going to see below, because his usefulness is over. I mean, nobody respects. They are going to resist from here on out, and so on, etc., etc. Okay. Verse 9, Then he showeth them their work. O Lord, if you show a man his work and their transgression, if you show a man his transgression, he starts trembling in his shoes. That they have behaved themselves proudly. Fits him pretty good. The Lord revealed to Obama. If the Lord reveals to Obama his sins and he is humbled, obviously he's qualified. Verse 10. He openeth also their ear to instruction and commandeth that they return from iniquity. So he's given ears to hear. Can only come through the new birth, right? Verse 11. If they hearken and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they hearken not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. So, the fear of the Lord, who knows all of Obama's sins against him, including killing the saints, etc., will be granted. But they that are godless in heart lay up anger. They cry not for help when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life perisheth among the unclean. But now he's talking about this other person. He's talked about two different people here now. In verse 15 he says, he delivereth the afflicted by their affliction, and openeth their ear in oppression. I do believe that Obama, for instance, shall cry to God, whom he has never known. Yes, he did have a brush with Christianity, and he speaks about it. But then he goes on to talk about how all the gods are God, you know. And I guess he sees the God of Islam doing a lot more in the world. And of course they have a respect for him, and when you have rejection, that's usually something that'll lead you in the wrong way. Okay. Anyway, at this time when I shared this in that meeting, Shay then shared her verse in that morning meeting, and it was about the resurrection anointing of the man child with an earthquake, which runs parallel with Trump's anointing on the inauguration, if we're reading this correctly, and I think we are. So the very next thing after we look at this, we're looking at the one that's going to take the throne, all right? The man child in the church, and Trump in the world. Matthew 20, how many times have we had this parallel, though, by the way? You know, like Daniel and the king, right? Joseph and the king, you know. Mordecai and the king. There's always been an agreeable kingdom and king that is faced with the beginning of the man-child's ministry. Very interesting. So, can we expect the same? Yes, well, it's happening. It's happening, and it's going to happen. You know, the things that I've sent out to you to pray about, fast and pray and call upon the Lord, you know, and I know some of you have done that, and I believe God's heard your prayers. I know He's heard mine, because He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them, right? So, here's that text, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. That's where she put her finger, right there. Great earthquake. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone. Resurrection, right? Resurrection of the man-child Jesus. Right? That's when he was caught up to the throne. That's where he got his anointing. That's when he started his heavenly ministry and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said. Oh, praise the Lord. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then saith Jesus unto them, Fear not, go tell my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So here's the resurrection of the man-child, and we just saw that Obama at the Red Sea will turn over the authority of the kingdom to Trump, and that he may be resurrected also. Boy, wouldn't that be a help in a revival, especially when you know he favors the homosexuals, the radical Islam, communists, on and on. And, you know, when God changes your mind, he's able to just wash all that out, right? Give you, and don't, you know, we shouldn't look at people, and sometimes we do, we shouldn't look at people as unsavable, because we can't imagine, you know, this person being saved, okay? But the Lord loves to do it. I mean, he picked Paul on purpose. He had a lot not going for him. One, he was a theologian, and it's hard to save theologians. It's much easier to save the average man than it is any theologian. and he was totally contrary to Christianity and had a vendetta against them, you know. So he didn't, I mean, when he was brought to the Christians, they closed the door. They were scared of this guy because they knew everything that he had done. And finally they warmed up when they saw that he preached the gospel, you know. So, the next morning prayer meeting was the 16th, and Missy asked, Are we missing something concerning Hillary and Trump and Obama? And she said this because I had said the day before that I felt we were missing something, and went back to study the verses, including hers, from the day before, and discovered what I just told you about. She got, when she asked this question, are we missing something concerning Hillary, Trump, and Obama? 2 Chronicles 22:2 on down, okay? 42 years old was Ahaziah. Now, when you read this story, he's the best fit for Obama. She asked about Hillary, Trump, and Obama, okay? She's the best fit for Obama. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah. Now, the best fit for this text for Athaliah is Hillary. And she even has Lia at the end of her name. Athaliah. So we know that she has a problem with lying, right? Athaliah. And by the way, Athaliah was known for killing children. So the daughter of Omri. He, that is Obama, also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Remember Ahab and Jezebel, right? So he was kind of a Ahab, and Hillary was kind of a Jezebel, right? For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Well, we know Hillary was his counselor and to do wickedly. And I believe that was her that introduced him to Satanism, even though he was a radical Muslim. I believe it was her and Bill who had been in this much longer, and they probably introduced him to that. So anyway, she definitely was his counselor to do wickedly. She did a lot of wickedness in the Middle East for purposes of her own, and Obama even let her do these things. Let me go on. Verse 4. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab with Jezebel. For they were his counselors after the death of his father. So, the house of Ahab was his counselors, after the death of his father, to his own destruction. So this was the kind of counsel Obama got from Jeremiah Wright, who told him, "Damn America." Right? And he's been doing it ever since. Well, verse 5 says, he walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, who was the factious bunch, right? They factioned away from Judah and had wars with Judah, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. Well, now we know Obama is warring against the Syrians, right? At Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. So Obama did go to war with Syria, and I believe that he got somewhat wounded himself when the Russians stepped in there. Wounded his reputation. I mean, the Russians were able to do in days what he couldn't do in years. And that's pretty embarrassing there, because he really wasn't trying to wipe out his own military, ISIS. And I mean, it was just an all chicanery, right? Verse 7. Now, the destruction of Ahaziah, or Obama, who sided with Ahab's seed on the left and the government faction against Trump, who was on the right? Now, the destruction of Ahaziah was of God, in that he went unto Joram. That's the government faction joining the religious faction. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu. Now, that was a mistake, for goodness sake. And it's a mistake for Obama to go out against Jehu, because he represents the man-child. And if you want to see the parallel, it would be man-child-Trump parallel. Amazingly, because both of them are reformers in their own right, one in the government and one in the church, right? And we also see that the faction is in both, too. So there's a parallel there, too, right? And amazingly, I had a note next to this name, Jehu, right here, from November. Because I'd asked the Lord a question. I've asked him by faith at random if he would remove Obama, and got this verse about Jehu removing Ahaziah, which we're now seeing as Obama. Interesting. That's a good confirmation. I also got another text for the same question. Is he going to remove Obama? Proverbs 24, 21, and 22 is what I received in the same manner. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and company not with them that are given to change. Put quotation marks around change. Change is Obama's promise to America. Change. And boy, was it a change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and the destruction from them both who knoweth it. So that was Proverbs 21 and 22. Their calamity shall rise suddenly. And so the rest of the verse, I'll go back and read just a little bit of it. When he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu. He went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. So Jehu was the reformer, in a type, the man-child Trump reformer, who was to cut off the house of Ahab, both in a government way and in a church way, right? Interesting. Verse 8. And it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, that's the apostate leadership, the government slash religious faction on the left, right? That he found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah ministering to Ahaziah, and he slew them. So the Jehu man-child is doing this, of course, by faith, bringing down these leftists, right? The Jehu man-child Trump is doing this, bringing down the leftists. And he sought Ahaziah, who we see as Obama, and they caught him. And he was hiding in Samaria. Samaria, of course, is the faction, the apostate faction against Judah, who is on the right. And they brought him to Jehu, the man-child Trump parallel, and slew him, and they buried him. So they slew the old man by burying him with Christ in baptism. For they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all of his heart. And the house of Ahaziah had no power to hold the kingdom. So the Democrats will fail without King Obama. They've got no power to hold the kingdom without him. And if he gets saved, he's changing sides. So that's very interesting. Well, I think that would put a lot of confusion in the enemy camp right there. And I hope it's the truth. Because we've had some dreams that are pretty awesome concerning this. Verse 10. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, and why would she be his mother? Because she advised him to do evil. That's why, and what it said of her, right? She advised him to do evil. Saw that her son was dead. So maybe died with Christ and lost the U.S. kingdom. He lost the kingdom when she found out that the kingdom was open and she wanted the kingdom. Did not Hillary want the kingdom? I mean, we are losing Obama and she wants the kingdom. Bad. Real bad. Bad enough to kill a lot of people, and she has. So, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. So, anybody who could take the kingdom from Hillary, she assassinated, like Bernie. Poor old Bernie. and others. Herod did the same thing with Rachel's children, the brethren of Jesus, but Jesus escaped. And in this text also, a man-child escapes, right? Verse 11. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king, took Joash, who is also a type of the man-child Trump, the son of Ahaziah, the one that came after Ahaziah. Trump came after Obama, right? And stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain. So the others were slain. The others were taken out. And by the way, all of Trump's brothers were slain. They were taken out. They couldn't go the distance with the presidency, right? And put him and his nurse in the bedchamber. So Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, who was the high priest. So the wife of the high priest is the Lord. Who is this? The bride. The bride has control over who? That man-child. Okay, so praise the Lord, we've had dreams just like that. For she was the sister of Ahaziah, that is in the flesh, they're both human, and hid him from Athaliah, Hillary. You know, Trump, the rightful heir to the throne, and the real threat, was hidden from her by the bride, so that she slew him not. She thought he would never be president, and so did the powers that be, the elite, the Illuminati. They put him up there, thinking that he would fall, and they would put Hillary in there. But God deceived them, as a prophecy I shared with you recently. He deceived them. And he's deceived the whole world. Because what we heard in that prophecy was, he's not a praying man now. But when he goes in office, the Lord's going to baptize him in the Holy Spirit. Now, they would never vote somebody into office like that. And so, the word God deceived them is very, very clear. You know, he did. Yes, they had their thought that what they were going to do is prop him up there as an enemy, and then Hillary would come along and knock him over. Well, it didn't work that way because God anointed him like Jehu. As one prophet said, the Lord deceived them. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years. Six is the number of man, right? And Athaliah reigned over the land. Well, you know, as Bill Clinton's boss, she reigned in the presidency. Everybody said that. He was just a yes man for her. She reigned then. And then, as Secretary of State, she was doing and ruling a lot of things that had to do with Obama. And she reigned. But after 6 years, which is the number of man, the king, Joash, was brought to the throne, and Hillary / Athaliah then and now are crying treason. But she was slain. You know, when the young king was brought out and they crowned him, she cried treason. Athaliah did. Well, what in the world did she do that was clearly treason? You know, killed all of her grandchildren, right? For goodness sake. She's such a lust to rule and to reign that killing children wasn't a problem. Of course, when they sacrificed children to Satan for their power over the people, which is obviously working out there, we're seeing a lot of people that are gone cuckoos, you know, just totally. Snowflakes, they're calling them. They just melt all over themselves when she didn't get in there, you know, just cried. It was so totally crazy. It's totally supernatural, by the way. It's totally the faction in the government. The lies that their false prophets spoke out there got into the heart of these people and just destroyed them. Now, it's sometimes very interesting how words come out, you know, in our meetings that are so very in agreement. The very next verse after this one, Patty shared, 1 Chronicles 20, 1 through 3. And it came to pass, which is kind of an answer to that question that she had when she got that text, okay? And it came to pass at the time of the return of the year, what is that? January, right? We thought about January the 20th, inauguration. And it came to pass at the time of the return of the year, January the 20th, inauguration, at the time when kings go out to battle, that Joab led forth the army, that was the army of David, and wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Raba. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Raba and overthrew it. So David's army took the lost kingdom captive. Are you seeing how I'm applying this? Because America's a lost kingdom, right? And it changed hands here. Okay? He took it captive. David's army did. And Trump's army did. And Trump's army, they don't know what's behind Trump's army. There is a David ministry that's in the world today, not yet anointed, hadn't yet come to the throne. But they're still fighting battles. You remember how David, little David, fought battles before he was anointed? Well, Trump don't know it. he suspects it's not the Russians, but he's certainly getting favor somehow. And I'm telling you that the prayers of the saints are being answered. God is using their prayers and their faith to flip this kingdom. Amen? And David took the crown of their kingdom. When was this? The return of the year. David took the crown of their king, Obama, from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were precious stones in it, and it was set upon David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city exceedingly much. Well, guess what? All that belonged under the hand of Obama was now Trump's. The Trump man-child parallel we're looking at right here, David, right? Became the new king, and he took the lost nation captive. And their king's spoil. Yeah. Verse 3. And he brought forth the people that were therein. And the word cut is in there. It's in italics because it's not really what happened. It shouldn't be there. And cut them with saws and with harrows of iron and with axes. That must have been a bloody mess. No. The word cut was not in there. He put them to work cutting wood. And them with saws and with harrows of iron and with axes. The word cut was not in the original. So, who else is going to put the people to work and is looking very much like he's doing that? The lost nation. Who's putting the lost nation to work? Trump. just like he said he was going to do. And I don't think it was all that hard. Of course, the Lord trying to confirm him, but I don't think Obama had a mind to put people to work, nor did he have a mind to bring success to this nation. That wasn't his mind at all. He wanted to bring the nation down in order to bring in his buddies. And thus did David unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. Well, that's kind of cool. So, he took captivity captive there, didn't he? He put them back to work. And David and all the people returned to Jerusalem, which was what? The capital city. It's like our D.C., right? Okay, now, I want to share a couple of revelations with you about Obama getting saved and see what you think about it. Maybe some of you out there have a revelation like this and you'd like to send it in. That'd be great. Send it in to the elders, or, you know, go to the front of the site, send it in. There's a couple of ways you can send it to Robin, or you can send it through the elders or whatever. If you've got any confirmations of this, or maybe you have something against this, that'd be fine too. We'll certainly consider it, okay? So this is a revelation about Obama getting saved. And this was given to a guy named Chad in November of 2010. He had a dream. I had a dream last night that Obama was floating on a raft with Navy SEAL swimmers underneath. He was looking a little unkempt. I spoke to him, and he was reading a Sovereign God book and was telling me that he was really getting a lot of good things from it. Wonder if that'll happen. Well, we had the thought that maybe it can happen, you know. So Chad said to me, I'm thinking of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Perhaps history will just repeat for the king of Babylon. He was definitely in survival mode. In other words, when he saw him in the boat, he was in survival mode. And I guess trying to escape the SEAL team. I don't think the SEAL team likes Obama very much. If you remember what happened to them, right? I felt to pray for him when I woke up, and that he was going to get saved. We will see. So that's what he felt. And he felt, well, anyway, if he's reading Sovereign God and getting something out of it, I'd say he got to be saved or he wouldn't do that. So I replied to Chad. I said, well, that would be awesome, because I believe that. I mean, that would just be so awesome for him to get saved. That's just showing God how great he is, how powerful he is. Remember, he hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would say no. So that when he forced his hand, he was showing everybody how strong he is, how strong God is. He was magnifying himself in the eyes of the Egyptians and in the eyes of Israel. Wow. And wouldn't it be so if he saved Obama, right? So I told him that would be awesome. We also have a lot of dreams that he would be killed, I told him. And I said to him, perhaps this is spiritual death to self by character assassination. And I put a smiley face there. Let's pray the Lord gives us more on this. Perhaps we should send him a Sovereign God book and tell him to read chapter 2 first. he is in a tight spot. If he doesn't obey the banksters, there is a history of presidents dying at their hands. Floating above the waters of the beast with the killers below sounds like he's getting saved. I guess if he got saved, they would surely try to shoot him. So when Paul was saved, the powers that be tried to kill him. We better pray for him. So that's what I sent to Chad, and Chad answered. He said, I was just thinking that exact thought 20 minutes ago, meaning send him a Sovereign God book. So I prayed and felt really good that we should send President Obama a Sovereign God book. Do I think he read it? I don't have any idea. Somebody might have. There is somebody that goes through his mail, and who knows what happened with that. But he might have read it some himself, but there's no sign of it up until now. Although, I got to say now, he seems to be more subdued. Maybe we should send Obama a Sovereign God book, I said, with a note from Chad and myself, and we prayed that he would get it. Father, we pray for President Obama that you would have grace and mercy upon him and draw him unto yourself in the saving knowledge of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's see, that was November the 14th, 2010. Garrett had a dream December the 1st, 2010. Garrett knew nothing of this revelation when he got a confirmation 2 weeks later, because we didn't tell anybody about it until after we received Garrett's revelation. And it's all about Obama getting fired and saved. Garrett Crawford. Garrett's had a lot of good dreams. Very powerful dreams. So, I'm going to share you his words and also my notes and his notes put together concerning his words, okay? I found myself in a dream, Garrett said, standing in a basement where I was watching the Chicago Bulls having practice. I saw them going through drills and practicing hard. The star point guard, Derrick Rose, was being insubordinate to the head coach during these drills. He was not obeying orders. And then the note says, Derrick is the star point guard. He controls the ball, and the offense runs through him. President Obama, too, is the point man for the New World Order elite. He is the star of the show, but he will be disobedient to the elite. Derrick Rose was born and raised in the city of Chicago. After college, he was drafted by his hometown Chicago Bulls. Obama's hometown is Chicago, and much of his professional and political life was spent in that city. The Obamas have all been seen dressed in black and red, as at their inauguration. This was in my mind when seeing the Lord use the black and red colors Derrick was dressed in. Black and red are the colors of the anarchist flag. And as we know, the work of Obama has been anarchy everywhere he's put his fingers. The whole Middle East is now in anarchy. That's what anarchists do. And, of course, you can see in America, there has also been anarchy, and he stands behind it. And burning of cities, killing quite a few people, by the way. They lied about the city up here north of us. there was a lot of people died there. And there was 1,000 buildings or 1,500 buildings that were taken down. Not even in the news. This is kind of like, well, I don't know. They're covering everything up. For what purpose? You know, I don't know. But every time there is a disaster, far fewer people are killed, according to them in the news media, than actually happens. So anyway, he goes on to say, they are both black men. Derek means famous ruler or ruler of the people. Whoa. With his last name being Rose, we clearly see the key to who this person represents. A famous red ruler or a famous communist ruler. Some people would argue that he's not a communist. I believe he is. Garrett said, in real life, the coach of the Bulls is a fairly tall, middle-aged man, but I noticed that the coach was a very small and wrinkly old man. And our note there was the elderly Bilderbergers, Illuminati, banksters that put presidents in and take them out through their money and national news media. Yes, they own the national news media. And they thought they could put a president in there. They turned everybody in the country against Trump. It's just a major, major, major miracle that with all that propaganda out there and millions and maybe $1 billion going through Hillary, it failed. The coach fired Derrick Rose on the spot, and the team left the room, leaving Derrick alone. Okay, so here's the note. Derrick only played 1 year at the University of Memphis. As a freshman, he led them to the national title game. Barack Obama was a freshman senator who led the Democrats to a national title. Derrick was then declared ineligible because he cheated on his SATs. The whole season was forfeited, and the accomplishments of that team were wiped away from the record books. This was a pretty big scandal. There is much evidence that points to President Obama not being a naturally born citizen of this country, thus making him ineligible to hold office, and he would forfeit much of his team's accomplishments. Well, you know, we wrote that back then, and now we're seeing that's exactly what's happening. Much of their team's accomplishments will be erased with this team that Trump is putting in there. And much of it was totally illegal anyway. But much of the leftist agenda is going to be destroyed. So that really fits. We didn't know all that back then, though. Garrett said, I watched as Derrick dressed in his red and black Bulls uniform, humbly walked over to a window, he just got fired, right, and just silently gazed out into space. It seemed he was contemplating a lot of things. I walked over to the window where Derrick Rose was standing, I on the right and he on the left. That fits, if you're considering that Derrick here is Obama, right? And I looked out the window with him. Something very strange was going on in the sky. It had a red hue to it. But it was nighttime. I noticed the moon in its normal spot, off to the left of the sky. But when I looked back over to the right, there was another moon. So we put Planet X, Nibiru, the brown dwarf, whatever. This is an update. This wasn't in this. This is an update, but it's very interesting that now, in the end of 2016, beginning of 17, when Obama is being fired, many are seeing what they think is Planet X in the sky. Some of them look like they could be credible. Others are just phony as a $3 bill, and obvious to me that they are. but they're seeing Planet X everywhere. And the Earth is seriously groaning with earthquakes and volcanic activity and weird weather. Something's going on. Is it close? I'm guessing so. I haven't been really watching it much lately, but there are some pretty credible, you know, pictures I've seen. Anyway, Garrett said, this startled me. I had to really make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. I stared back and forth between the two objects and came to the conclusion I was not imagining anything. I was seeing two celestial objects in the sky. This is when I ran out of the room Derek and I were in. I called as many people as I could, walking in the hallway outside, to witness this strange sight. Okay, so Derek S. Obama just got fired, and they're seeing Planet X. Well, here we are coming to Trump going in, him being fired. Is Planet X up there? Well, it could be. We're definitely having some big earthquakes on the Earth, tidal waves, so on and so forth. Could be. We'll see. We'll watch this thing. Everyone saw the same thing I did, and they were all amazed. It wasn't too long before I came to the conclusion that this was Planet X. As soon as I was fully convinced in my heart that this was real, the boldness of the Lord rose up inside of me, and without knowing what I was saying, I spoke to Derek and the others and said, You now only have 5 years left to get right with God. Well, obviously, if this is the beginning of the tribulation period and their covenant with Israel, which we've seen part of it already, there comes a place, by the way, in chapter 9, where nobody else repented. That was before the last trump, the sixth trump. It was in the midst of the sixth trump. And nobody repented of their fornication or their lies or whatever, you know. Nobody repented. And God, is it saying that? I don't know. He says, you now only have 5 years left to get right with God. So, but let me say this. This statement of the 5 years left, this represents the point in time when Joseph's brothers had recognized him as their brother. You got that? 5 years left. Remember, Joseph prophesied the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. And 2 years into the 7 years of famine, he told them, you have 5 years left. And that was the point at which they recognized Joseph as their brother. Because he was saved, right? Even though outwardly he was an Egyptian. In other words, the outer man looks like the outer man. He's as lost as he can be, right? But the inner man was their brother. And not only that, he had become the head of the kingdom. When they recognized him as their brother, he was the head of the kingdom. And all of this is like Obama. If at this time that we're talking about, he is recognized as a brother, that would be very, very interesting. Now, in another parable, Joseph here is a type of the man-child in the 7 years of tribulation. He said to them in Genesis 45 and 6, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest." So this could also represent the end of the second year of tribulation, with 5 more years to go, when there is famine and starvation and disease everywhere. And, you know, Planet X may be casting asteroids, comets, fireballs to the earth in the first few trumpet judgments of Revelation chapter 8, 6 through 11. Now we know one thing. This is not in this revelation, but it's something that some don't know, and that is that in the past, Planet X has made a short circuit around the sun and gone around again because it had hit another planet and couldn't get up enough speed to escape the sun's gravity in one or two or maybe three orbits. It just kept coming back, coming back, coming back until it escaped the sun's gravity. In other words, Planet X may not be just a pass-by of a half a year, you know, a loop. It could be several years of the tribulation that we're being affected by this thing. It's a possibility. I just say that. Possibility. Okay. It would fit why some things were closer together than the 3,600 years. Much closer. And things that appeared to be effects of Planet X. So, anyway, I don't want to get into that and get too far away from this revelation here. So, now, I don't believe, I know that prayer changes things, okay? And the part about being the second year, I'm not sure that's really applying here. The point is that at that particular time, they recognized their brother as their brother. Before he was just an Egyptian. In other words, a lost person. But now he's their brother. Which makes him saved. Because they were the only ones that were saved. Okay. So they were the Jews, right? So they were Israel. So if it does happen to apply to the second year, which I don't think it does, that part, that would put him, you know, away from the Red Sea, right? I don't really think that applies here. I think that the Lord is telling us that this may be the time that we're coming to right now. Okay, because of all the parallels, okay? So, Garrett went on to say, "After seeing this heavenly object so close to the earth, I wondered how we had never seen this before now. In the dream, I started to look." Remember, this is back in 2010. "In the dream, I started to look through magazines, books, and internet sources to find recent pictures or news footage of the same area that I had seen where the two moons appeared, wondering how I or anyone else could have missed such a thing. In every single picture or video, someone had conveniently placed buildings or obstructions right in front of the area where the second moon was in the sky. I was convinced in every instance the forces that be deliberately photoshopped or video edited the obstructions in so the moon could not be seen. So the new moon he's talking about, Planet X, could not be seen. Well, we've seen star photos altered to block areas of space that were just totally blocked out, and what many thought was the position of the brown dwarf, which we're told can only be seen with an infrared telescope, unless it's backlighted by some other planet or star, right? And sure enough, it stayed blocked out for quite a while, and they brought it back in. At any rate, they do obviously do things to hide. They do Photoshop. They do things to hide what people have thought was the direction of Planet X. Anyway, Garrett said, I can honestly say that I did not at all connect this dream below to the first one above until the Lord spoke to me during worship Friday that they were connected. And then this was December the 10th of 2010 that he had the second dream. Okay? I had a dream that the world was going through major changes. Well, now we can see, we can update this. A giant swing to the right and Trump is causing the same phenomena in Europe. A throw the bums out type syndrome is taking over the world. I would say we're going through major changes here. You know, people had lost hope of escaping this mess until God encouraged them through Trump that we might be coming to the end of this mess. Anyway, Garrett went on to say, it seemed like a huge transitional time in world history. Of course, back in 2010, we had no idea this would be happening right now. Although, we've looked before at the parallel of the cooperative government alongside the man-child. So that we certainly didn't have a cooperative government in Obama, unless he did get saved. So we've looked at things, we just didn't, you know, carry it out far enough to see what was coming. Well, now we can see that this is a huge transitional time in world history. He said it seemed very surreal. I saw President Barack Obama lose power, and the world's attention was placed upon another. Yeah, that was back in 2010. Yeah, I would say that's dead on. It seemed a man from a European country became very prominent as Obama's favor waned. Yeah, you know, we know now, of course, that Trump is German on his father's side and Scottish on his mother's side. He's a man who understands the immigrant experience, right? Yeah. This man was really wicked. Yeah? Maybe more wicked than Obama. Well, I would say that's wrong. No, after we've known so much about Obama, I'd say, no, he wasn't that bad. But he was wicked. And he was a white man, he said, with slick black hair. Well, we know that Trump was very lost into the world, big time. Given over to lust, big time. Black hair represents being submitted to darkness. The Lord has shown us that. He definitely was. He has said that he accepted Jesus, but we've been told this would become serious after the inauguration. We've been told he's going to really get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit after the inauguration. And then God tricked the whole world into this situation. So far, that's dead on, right? Garrett said, "It was made very clear to me that through a series of God-ordained events in Obama's life, he had been severely humbled and broken." I'd say so. That's certainly coming. I believe he does feel like he hasn't fulfilled his what he had dreams about, and Hillary neither. Garrett said, "I believe losing power and being abandoned by the ones who ushered him to the heights of world power added to this." First of all, somebody that is given much power and attention, when they have a spirit of rejection, to them, it's just wonderful because they've been rejected all their life, and now all of a sudden everybody's beating the path to their door, right? So if that's taken away, it's a severe letdown for somebody that has a spirit of rejection. And he said that the ones who ushered him to the heights of world power added to this. "I saw very clearly this was godly sorrow and a real repentance had taken place." Praise the Lord. He got saved. So then, Garrett says, "Not long after these things were revealed, I ran into David Eales on the street." In other words, still in this revelation here, "I ran into David Eales on the street. There was only one thing on his mind. He was very vocal about sharing what the Lord had laid upon his heart. David wanted to talk about Barack Obama and how we all in the Christian community needed to receive him as a brother and not hold anything against him anymore." Isn't that awesome? Now, remember, he did not know about Chad's revelation. "David shared with me how Barack had been granted repentance from the Lord and how he was a changed man. Later in the dream, toward the end, I was with my grandma, and she was on her deathbed. She called me to her side. There was only one thing on her mind, and that was how troubled she was for speaking evil against Barack Obama. She was very regretful and beside herself for judging him while he was lost." Well, of course, this is very good theology here because we're not supposed to judge the lost. They have no hope of doing anything but what lost people do. Okay. Only a saved person, which is a gift from God, you know. It's not a matter of us choosing him. He chose us. We can't judge them. We can say what they're doing is wrong. That's true. It's always good to know what's right and wrong. Okay, judging them is a little different, right? "She too had been shown by the Lord that Barack was now following God." And I believe Grandma here represents the old order church, which has railed at President Obama. And there's a link here called Honor the King, right? You know, I believe if I met Barack Obama today, I could shake his hand with a smile and try to lead him to the Lord. Yeah. I don't feel anything against him, and I don't think anybody should, or anybody else. If they're lost, they're lost. They don't have any power to know God or to do good. They just don't do it. They're at the devil's mercy. We should pity them more, and we should never be angry with them, you know. You know, people study what wrong he's doing enough to where they get angry and unforgiving, and then they get in trouble, right? And he went on to say, I was in fellowship tonight, that was 8:26:11, and I was meditating on the dream during worship. And I had the thought that Obama's repentance reminds me of what God did with Nebuchadnezzar. Oh my goodness, that's the same thing Chad said. So I opened my Bible and fixed my eyes on the first verse I saw. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now that's a pretty good confirmation, I think, of the salvation of Barack Obama. And then Garrett updated this again in May of 2011. And he says, as of May the 3rd, 2011, President Barack Obama was riding a wave of accolades and praise from both sides of the aisle for the reported death of Osama bin Laden. And whether it happened or not, we don't know, do we? I have not seen this much worship of Obama since the days immediately after the 2008 presidential election. It's no coincidence that Derek's prophetic symbol in the dream I was shown above has also reached the pinnacle of his short professional career by capturing the NBA Most Valuable Player Award at 22. He is the youngest ever to do that, to do so. And Obama's pretty young too, isn't he? On May the 3rd, Derrick Rose was named the NBA MVP after statistically dominating the league all year long. I have watched basketball for years and have rarely seen a player be able to physically do the things that he has done on the basketball court, especially against the type of superior competition he faces night after night. And, you know, I would say Obama's really had a charmed life because God was using him to chasten this nation and to bring it down, and to bring the Christians under submission, and so on. And as I've said, we have to first be in bondage so that we can come out of bondage to go into the wilderness, to fit the type and shadow of Israel coming out of bondage and going into the wilderness. Well, we've been in bondage. When is the bondage over? The inauguration? Whoa, that must mean the inauguration is pretty close to the wilderness. He said, I knew the Lord made this happen to confirm the parable he was speaking to us in the dream, that Obama and Rose are living parallel lives at this point in their respective careers. Although Obama has reached the highs of his career, the Lord has prophesied that around the appearing of Planet X, all of Obama's accomplishments will have been forgotten. Listen to this. And as Donald Trump would say, you're fired.
Now, that's not an addition. That was actually in there May of 2011.
And as Donald Trump would say, you're fired. So Garrett wrote this about Trump back then, not thinking he would be replacing Obama. And Garrett said, that's not an endorsement of Trump. And just with a big smiley face, you know. So, what do you think? Could it be that Barack Obama is going to get saved? He's certainly in a place where he's lost his dream, you know. And the things that were written about him prophetically, you know, really put him up on a pedestal as far as Islam is concerned. He was coming to bring salvation to Islam and to turn this country over to Islam and the Middle East over to Islam. And it seems to be starting to crumble in the Middle East, and it's starting to crumble here, and it's going to start being turned around, I believe, when Trump goes in there. And, you know, a cooperative government in Europe for Trump, I believe, is coming too. So, God is going to bless us with a short period of time that we're not under the gun, to where we can sit down and study God's Word and receive anointings from the man-child, a.k.a. Jesus. Jesus in the man-child. We can receive anointings from Him. He's personally going to shepherd His sheep, as Ezekiel 34 says. And nobody's really expecting that, but it's what the Word teaches, you know. So, who's ruling the country? Did you think that Trump had this power to stand up in front of all the major news media, the CIA, on and on? The CIA has killed people before. They killed JFK. I saw the film. The guy in the front seat, as he was passing the grassy knoll, the famous grassy knoll, just as he was passing behind that, the guy in the front seat who was driving turned around and shot JFK. Probably for the second time. And then the CIA guy that was following JFK, walking behind the car or riding on the back step, had to push Jackie back in the car so that they could go and debrief her. Yeah. So she didn't say nothing about that after that, but I saw the picture. It was clear. What I'm saying is, the CIA, if God permits, they would take out Trump too. Because he's going to take out them. I mean, JFK talked about taking out the CIA and crumbling it into tiny little pieces. That's what he was talking about doing. Well, he didn't get a chance to do it because they killed him. And now Trump's doing that too, so you better pray for him. And I agree, the CIA needs to come down. Because it's the elite ruling the CIA. And that should have never happened, you know. So, who's ruling the country? Everything that we have prayed for has come to pass. Today there was a monster storm coming at us this morning. A monster. And behind it was ice and snow. coming right at us. And we totally ignored it. We had some folks that were moving in from their house out of state. And we declared that all that rain and all that snow and all that that was pointed right at us was going to miss us. And it was on top of us when we prayed this morning. So we all went out there and we did our job. And we didn't get flooded out. We got no snow. The temperature stayed the same from the time we got up this morning, which they said was not going to happen. It was going to get much colder. And it stayed the same. And we all just had a good time. Because we exercised the Lord's authority. Now, we've done this before many times. The Lord just parted that thing, and it went around us on both sides. And we commented on it. Well, what happened to the storm? It's gone. You know, it went right around us. And we're still having a pretty good day here, you know. So, who's ruling the country? Well, the Lord is, but how does He like to do it? He likes to use you and me to pray and believe, to cast down things that are a part of the curse, because we're not under the curse. And I would say Obama is definitely the curse. Now, when he gets saved and he's a brother, that'll be awesome. That'll be just awesome. That will be such an exciting thing. So I'm hoping for it, and I'm going to pray for it, right? So pray with me. I think we've got enough evidence here that we can pray for this. And we've had enough evidence that the Lord wanted to turn different things away, you know. And we've won battle after battle, and they're thinking, who did this? It must be the Russians, you know. No, it was the Lord. The Lord using His measly people. You remember how the bride, Esther, changed the mind of Ahasuerus concerning Haman and his edict to destroy the people of God. And I'm very convinced that Obama is Haman here. And so on. So, Father, we just thank You for continuing to anything that they come up with, Lord, between here and the next month, if it's fires, if it's whatever, they're bringing up, you know, to cause anarchy, to cause people to be mad. They're constantly fomenting rebellion. This never would have, they'd have gone to jail in years past. I mean, can't nobody be permitting this but You, Lord, because that just would not have happened. And threatening to assassinate someone that is the president-elect, and nobody's going out there and collaring these people and throwing them in jail. What is going on, Lord? This is just would not have been possible. It's You, Lord. It's You. You're showing people how evil these people are. You have hardened Pharaoh's heart. And You're going to show Your power by saving Your people in the midst of this and letting them go free from bondage into the wilderness. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Praise You, Father. Lord, You are a mighty, mighty God. And Lord, whatever else they come up with, we send confusion in their ranks. We cast down their plots and schemes. They act like they've got a half a brain, Lord. They come up with stuff that's so stupid that nobody buys. Nobody that's not demon-possessed like they are buys it at all. It's so goofy, you know? Yuck. It's just so goofy. But we're used to that. We've already been through all that. It's just so goofy. And they wanted to overthrow Trump. You know, the faction wanted to overthrow me. They tried very, very hard, you know, to overthrow me. And, of course, God just kept us going. And it was dumb stuff. I mean, the dumbest stuff. Oh, Lord, thank you so much, Father, for showing us your power, showing the whole country your power, showing them you did this. Not the Russians. You did this. And that, yes, we can be your partner because we believe you and we believe your word, your promises, and we reach out to believe for mercy and grace, and you did it. Oh, glory be to God. Wow, Lord, you are so awesome. Thank you so much. We do not deserve it. It is a time of grace, exactly as we have shared with the brethren that we were coming to, a great time of mercy and grace. All the time we're getting to look at the enemy there, making a fool out of themselves, and taking down the whole news media with them. I mean, taking them down. They're crushed. They have lost the attention of the people. And now they're trying to outlaw the alternative media, calling it fake news, when actually it's very, very, very clear that the mainstream media is the one that has the fake news. Well, that's how goofy you get when faction and witchcraft comes into you. And they don't even know what hit them, Lord. It's you. It's you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We give thanks unto you, O God. You are a mighty Savior, a mighty Deliverer. Lord, we put our trust in you. And we thank you for continuing this next month, Lord, to bring us right on up to the inauguration and bringing it to pass and throwing the bums out. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. And Lord, any of them you can save, we would just love it because they would be an awesome witness. We just ask you to save them, Father. Save them. Lord, we suspect you're going to destroy some. And we suspect you're going to save some. So we thank you for the mercy. Because, Lord, when these people become Christians, they are powerful Christians. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints. I'm going to shut her down now. And we'll do this again sometime. God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. Keep on praying about what's going on out there. Keep a covering over Trump. Protect him. Keep his angel at work. And God bless you.